Now,
the rest of the story. A brisk March wind was whipping at Tommy's face as he walked back to the boarding house that night. But he was all but impervious to the chill in the air, for the President of the United States had just been inaugurated, had taken the oath of that magnificent office, and Tommy had been there. Tommy had seen it all, and the thrill lingered with him like a rapturously repeating melody. It was not a long walk back to Conrad and McMunn's. That's the Washington boarding house, which was Tommy's home. And yet the time had flown so that he wondered if perhaps he had missed dinner with the other boarders. But in fact, everyone was sitting at the table when Tommy rushed in. "You're late," somebody said. And Tommy apologized, quickly sat down at his customary place, in the chair which, being farthest from the hearth, the chair farthest from the warmth, was the coldest and least desirable in the room. "An important event today," piped a voice from among the diners. Tommy chimed in, reporting that it was the most wonderful thing he had ever seen. There had been a colorful parade of artillery and riflemen. There had been a deafening salute of guns and cannon, and shortly after noon, the new President of the United States had mounted the steps of the Capitol's north wing. At that point, another of the boarders, Johnny Brown, interrupted. He had been there, too. He had seen everything, he said. And yet hardly anyone had heard the new president's inaugural address. This was before public address systems, indeed before microphones. And the president had been so soft-spoken that only those in the first few rows could make out what he was saying. But Johnny Brown had caught some of it, and one enchanting, powerful sentence in particular. Here it is. The new president had said, quote, "If there be any among us who would wish to dissolve this union or to change its republican form, let him stand undisturbed as monuments of the safety with which error of opinion may be tolerated where reason is left free to combat it." And at the repetition of those words, the boarding house dining table fell silent. Tommy would remember that day and that evening for the rest of his life. Although he was to remain at the boarding house at Conrad and McMunn's for only two more weeks. Because then on the 19th of March, 1801, he was to take up his rightful residence at the so-called President's House. It's often been said by historians that Thomas Jefferson was perhaps the least pretentious president in our nation's history. And if it may serve to support that contention, you have just seen Tom Jefferson's inauguration day through his own eyes. And you have followed him home, unaccompanied, unguarded, and on foot, to his Washington boarding house, where he had entered as usual, plainly dressed, and where he had dined, as usual, at the most humble chair at the table. And now you know the rest of the story.